Jeremiah White has been baptized in accordance to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Soldier for Christ Community Church, on February 13th, 2021. And I didn't sign it yet, but if you give me a pen, I will. Yeah. Too late, Pastor Ben. You're getting old. You're getting old.
Sooner than you think.
Yep.
Amen. Step on up closer, Jeremiah.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go. Show off that hair, bro.
Amen. There you go. Congratulations, Jeremiah. Amen.
All right.
Amen. It's all officialed up now.
This is for Juan. He's not here, huh?
Right, but we're going to give it to his sister so she can,
okay,
take it for him.
Sister, could you? She got a baby in her hand and everything. We'll bring it to you. No, yeah.
Hey,
no,
did you sign his? Let me.
I will after. All right, here we go.
And you're alive, Pastor Sandy.
Praise God. I'm going to do something real fast.
Okay, he stepped out of the plane, but it's okay.
He's
still here.
That's okay. I'm still here. I'm going to step over to the board,
yeah,
too.
Give him a miss just to do one little thing.
Is your mic still on?
It's over there on the table. But yeah, it's on.
Thank you for clearing that up, Pastor Sandy.
Here we go.
Amen.
That's all I needed to do. That's all.
I'm ready to roll.
You're rolling right here.
Okay. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazma.
Elohim Tov. As God is good all the time in Hebrew. Baruch Hashem Adonai Eloheinu.
Put your mic up. You got it on.
Yeah. We're going to get right into this message today. If you have your Bible with you today, I'm going to start this exactly the way the Lord wants me to start this. So if you're in the book of Ezekiel, I would have you go to chapter 7. And I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do.
Yeah.
He says, I'm leading you. You don't need a special wow moment for me to lead you. Just do what I say.
That's right.
So, this morning while I was listening to scripture and going through scripture, I started reading Ezekiel chapter 7. And right when I got about to the fourth verse, the Lord stopped me and said, this is a message to the world right now, because this is what the world is so close to experiencing that you can touch it. You see the signs of it. You see the whole world being controlled by somebody, because you cannot go and sit in a restaurant. We got a pastor in a prison in Canada because he was having church service and they told him to stop. We have so much going on in this world right now. And so I'm reading Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7 is not one of the chapters that I really concentrate on, but the Lord had me go over it. And then he said, this is what's about to happen right now. I'm going to read all the way through it, okay? I'm not going to stop. If I stop and comment, tell me to keep going and stop messing around, because I got to read the whole thing the way the Lord wants me to read it, okay? It said, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says to the land of Israel. It was only there that he stopped me and said, no, this is for the whole world. It says, the end has come upon the four corners of the land. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. I will not look upon you with pity or spare you. I will surely repay you for your conduct and detestable practices among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Disasters, unheard of disaster is coming. The end has come. The end has come. It has aroused itself against you. It has come. Doom has come upon you. You will dwell in the land. The time has come. The day is near. There is panic, not joy. Upon the mountain, I am about to pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detest practices. I will not look upon you with pity or spare you. I will repay you in accordance with your conduct and your detestable practices among. Then you will know that I am the Lord who strikes the blow. The day is here. It has come. Doom has burst forth. The rod has budded. Arrogance has bloomed. Violence has grown into a rod to punish wickedness. None of the people will be left. None of the crowd. No wealth. Nothing of value. The time has come. The day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice nor the seller grieve for what is upon the whole crowd. The seller will not recover the land he has sold as long as both of them live. For the vision concerns the whole crowd, will not be reversed. Because of their sin, not one of them will preserve his life. Though they blow the trumpet and get ready, no one will go into battle, for my wrath is upon the whole crowd. Outside is the sword, inside plagues, famine. Those in the country will die by sword, and those in the city will be devoured by famine and plague. All who survive and escape will be in the mountains, moaning like doves of the valley, each because of his sin. Every hand will go limp, and every knee will become as weak as water. They will pour, they will put on sackcloth and ashes, terror with terror. Their face will be covered with shame, and their head will be shaved. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be an unclean thing. The silver and the gold will not be able to save them in the day of the Lord's wrath. They will not satisfy their hunger or fulfill their stomachs with it, for it has made them stumble into sin. They were proud of their beautiful jewelry and used it to make their detestable idols and vile images. Therefore, I will turn these into an unclean thing for them. I will hand it all over as plunder to foreigners and as loot to the wicked of the earth, and they will defile it. I will turn my face away from them, and they will desecrate my treasured place. Robbers will enter it and desecrate it. Prepare chains, because the land is full of bloodshed and the city is full of violence. I will bring the most wicked of nations to take possession of their houses. I will put an end to the pride of the mighty, and their sanctuary will be desecrated. The terror comes. They will seek peace, but they will find none. Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor. They will try to get a vision from the prophets. The teaching of the law by the priests will be lost, as will the council of the elders. The kings will mourn. The prince will be clothed with despair. The hand of people and the land will tremble. I will deal with them according to their conduct, and by their own standard I will judge them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Praise God for his word. Now, as uncomfortable as that was for me, the Lord told me, I want you to read the whole thing because I'm talking to the whole world. Because you're in a position where you're about to see God's judgment, and God has promised you an escape out of the judgment, but many people in the world will not be humble enough to even take the escape. So the Lord said, read this and then tell them also Luke 21 that says, and I'm going to read it because I don't want to misquote it. Luke 21, it says, be careful, for your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness in the acts of this life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon the whole, it will come upon all those who live on the whole world, on the whole earth. Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So that is really the warning. Since the conception of this church, we have always a motto because of what God gave me to preach about. And what he gave me to preach about was the rapture.
Yep.
And so our concept or our motto became, are you rapture ready? Okay. Rapture ready. And sometimes people took rapture and ready as one word. But God says, preach the rapture, but make sure they're ready. Okay? Because some people aren't ready, but they want the rapture. Notice that the title that we used was not rapture knowledgeable. Because nobody cares how much you know about the rapture if you're not ready. You understand? But that seems to be the concept that the world is taking, is you've got to know about the rapture. Are you awake? Are you asleep? Do you know about what's coming? And they haven't thought about, maybe I'm not going. Because rapture is followed by ready.
Yeah.
And so I'm really more concerned, are you ready, than you being knowledgeable of the rapture. And it seems like in these days, everybody wants to be knowledgeable of the rapture. If you want a YouTube channel and you want to get monetized, all you got to do is say, I'm talking about the rapture. And you'll get a million people that don't know Christ is going to come because they want to know the latest conspiracy, the latest when you think we're going to leave, all of this stuff. But they miss the understanding. Some people say, you know, Pastor Sandy, you're always talking about the rapture. No, Pastor Sandy, you're always talking about, are you ready? I'll tell you about the rapture, and we can break down the dates, the times, and the years, and the seasons, and the typologies, and all of that. But my biggest concern is, are you ready?
Yeah.
Someone said they had a dream, and if you're the person that sent me this dream, it said he dreamed that the rapture had happened. All of these people were in heaven, and half of the people who knew about the rapture had to explain it to the other half.
Ooh.
So half of them, they said, was in heaven like, what just happened? But they're there.
Right.
Which means that you don't have to know to get there.
That's right.
All you have to do is what? Be ready. I'm talking to a young lady right now, beautiful Christian, man. I mean, she's living in Missouri, beautiful Christian young lady, and she loves the Lord. I don't think she knows a whole bunch about the rapture at all. But I know her heart is for Jesus. Know what she's looking for? Change. She's looking for, how can I change my life and be more like Christ? Now, you think I'm going to spend an hour trying to explain to her the rapture when she's already got the most important part?
That's right.
Cut the cake in half. You can leave rapture on this side if you're ready. Okay?
Amen.
So, the Lord, let me slow down here. Yeah, the Lord was showing me. He gave me an example last night, and he says it really bothers him. He said there's a baker, and a guy called him and said, can you make me a 7-layer strawberry banana chocolate cake with whipped cream on the top and a cherry right on the top? And the baker said, sure we can. That's going to be very expensive, but if that's what you want, I'll make it. So the baker's getting this whole cake ready, right? And he's going layer after layer. He's putting the strawberries, he's putting the bananas, he's putting another layer, he's putting icing. And he gets this cake and it's absolutely beautiful. And he takes the cherry and he puts it right on the top. The guy comes in, he pays for it. He takes the cherry off the top and eat it, and he walks out. He said, I just wanted the cherry.
Ooh.
And the baker was offended. Like, really? Like, you could have just. So the guy comes in 2 weeks later and he says, hey, could you make me a 7-layer chocolate cake with whipped cream and strawberries and bananas? And the baker grabbed a strawberry and said, here, get out of my shop. And now the Lord's telling me this story this morning because he wants you to know that the baker is upset because you don't really want the cake. You just want the strawberry on it. You want the rapture, but you don't want the lifestyle.
Wow.
You don't want the change. You don't want to being transformed and coming into obedience and doing the right thing. You don't want none of that. You just want to eat the cherry on top. And God said, I'm the baker. And I spent a lot of time baking the cake. And it's not for just the rapture. He said, my love is to see a life change.
Yeah.
To see someone like me who had no control over his anger, to have control over my anger through through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I had to promise myself 1 year. I said, I'm not going to go to jail this year. I said, I'm not going to get in a fight with anybody this whole year. January 9th, because I missed the Super Bowl because I was in jail. January 9th, I had already gotten a fight and was already in jail. And I was like, man, I just made this New Year's proclamation, what I'm going to do. And I realized I had control over my anger. The joy of God is to see somebody now want to arouse that anger for me to say, Jesus loves you, brother. Have a good day. That's part of the cake. That's what God is enjoying. It's the transformation, the miracles that he has to do in your life, the coming in and saving you in a moment that you don't. That's the cake of the whole thing.
Yeah.
The rapture is just us together celebrating that someone made the cake.
Amen. That's a good word, Tom.
God gave me that story, so I'm like, I can't take no credit for it. It was a good story. I was like, God, that's good. You'd be a good preacher. So I want us to look at the board for a minute, because I want to talk to you about what it takes to make the cake. Who cares about the rapture today? I mean, that's our blessed hope. You understand?
Yeah.
But until you get it right with your lifestyle, your blessed hope might escape you.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody may lie to you and tell you, it doesn't matter how you're living. You're gonna be raptured, so don't even worry about it. But they're lying to you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Jesus says lukewarm won't make it. If you're not clothed in the right garment, you won't make it.
That's right.
If you have no oil in your lamp, you won't make it. So obviously there are some qualifications for that day, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't understand that, you just think that as long as I know about it and I stay on YouTube and I know about the new stuff's coming out, I'm going to in the rapture. And God's like, that has nothing to do with it. I'm looking for a changed life, okay? So this is what it took to get you in line with Jesus so that you could not end up in hell. And there are a lot of people in hell right now.
Yeah.
Don't think that hell don't exist, okay? There's a lot of people in hell right now that wish they had our opportunity right now. Because everybody sitting here, you can repent. In hell is like, you already had your, they already gave you your sentence, you already here, you already been found guilty, you just going before the judge to let them know what your sentence is gonna be, right? But right now, everybody in here can repent. So this is a privileged opportunity. Life is a privileged opportunity. Okay, so on the board, just turn and look at that. What is that, if you said, if you're into signs, and what sign would this be? If you're into signs, you guys aren't into signs because you too. So this would be what you call in the world Libra. Remember that? Because it has the two scales on the side, right? And it's the Libra, so it means balance, right? You guys know about that?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all too holy. Okay. Because my mom had me hip to all this when I knew Capricorn, Sagittarius, all these crazy things that they were going through, right? And my mother got delivered from this. But this is one of the signs that's in the star constellation, okay? We don't go by signs, but where's my book at, Pastor Ben? Did you take my book?
I didn't take the book.
Okay, it's in that bag, the little one. Okay,
there you go.
Here's this book. Now watch this. This book right here is called The Witness of the Stars. And The Witness of the Stars tells you that God put the star constellations in the sky only to tell you about the story of Jesus. So every star constellation tells you about who Jesus is, when he's coming, what events are going to happen, right? So all of the signs are for to speak the gospel to the world. This sign, it has nothing to do with justice. It has to do with a scale that's telling you how much something cost. Okay, it's a balance scale. Okay, the mashkal, it's the balance scale that says this is how much it's going to cost. Put it on the scale, and you'll know how much money you have to pay. Right. So underneath this is another constellation, because there's not just 12. There's 12 major, but then there's three added to that, so there's actually 48, okay? One of those constellations underneath the balance scale is the cross. Why would God do that? That's what it's going to cost. What was Jesus asking about? If I want a wife, and if I want to redeem mankind, because he wants both. He wants a wife, and he wants to redeem mankind. God says, how much is it going to cost? So they put the cross right underneath it. So with God, there are two different things that Jews have to pay for, okay? There's a redemption price. So like if you're my relative and you owe someone money and you're in slavery to them, I can go pay your redemptive price. And I could get you out of slavery because I'm a kinsman, meaning I'm a relative of yours, and I have the money, so I'm going to purchase you out of slavery, okay? So therefore, that makes me a kinsman redeemer. So now Jesus knows that he can purchase us out of slavery because sin sold us into slavery. But he has to be a kinsman redeemer. So now what does Jesus know? He can't do it from heaven. Because a kinsman has to be related to you. He has to come as a human being. And if he doesn't come as a human being, he can't redeem you. So now he comes as a human being to redeem you. But guess what? There, in the heavens, there's no redemption without blood. So now he knows he got to die. There's no redemption without blood, and I can't purchase you unless I'm related to you. So now I want to redeem you, but now I got to go there and I got to die and I got to shed my blood, because there is no redemption without blood. Almost everything, it says, has to be redeemed by blood. Then you have what you call a bridal price. Now, this is the trip part, because the bridal price isn't set. The bridal price is whatever the groom wants to pay to the father because of the worth that he thinks you're worth. So he's like if I wanted to marry Drea and I gave her dad $2.50, he would be like, I'll see you later, have a good day.
Right.
But if I go and give him a great price, I'm not buying his daughter, but I'm saying, this is how much I feel marrying your wife, I mean your daughter would be, this is my bridal price. And he would look at it and go, wow, you've saved up for quite a lot of time. You really want to marry my daughter. So Jesus Christ is saying, I'm going to pay the ultimate price for my bride. He said, I got the money, but I'm going to redeem her with my soul, because on the cross he's going to pour out his soul. I'm going to redeem her with my blood. I'm going to be crushed for her. I'm going to take over her debt. And you're like, wait a minute. Because, you know, all you got to do is marry somebody who's in debt. And guess what? You in debt too. So now Jesus is like, I've got to also pay your debt. And so what was your debt? Because of sin, you're going to spend eternal life in hell with your emotions, with physical pain, which you really don't understand, because you don't know what it is, because God said he gives them a body there. A body that burns and in pain and then regenerates. Then burns and then pains and then it regenerates. Then it burns and it's in pain and then it regenerates. And then you say, well, when is all this all in? Welcome to eternity. So you don't really understand hell. That's why they don't really advertise it on TV, because people get saved. Right? But I have a friend that's been there, and he's like, hey man, that's what it's like. I got shot. He got shot 6 times. He came back and he said, I'm going to tell you what it's like when I was on my way into there. He said, flames were at the end, demons were on the side, and I'm headed to the tunnel. Okay? But somebody had to pay the price to get you up out of there.
Right.
So now here's your opportunity to say, I don't want to go. I want to be redeemed. Okay? This is your opportunity. You won't get one after death, because the scripture says after death, it's judgment.
After that, the judgment.
After that, the judgment. Okay, let's get back over here. Okay. So what is the problem here? The problem here is someone has paid the price for your sin. Now you've been redeemed. You can look forward to the blessed hope. But no one gets married to stay the same.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
Like, no one gets married so that they can live the single life. It's like, what you get married for? You can just live the single life being single. You get married because there's a covenant coming together, and in that covenant is going to be a change of lifestyle for two people that are going to be selfless and decide to be a benefit to each other, right? When you marry God and you accept Jesus Christ, you're making a covenant with God. Jesus says, this is my covenant in blood that I'm giving to you, right? The covenant is with Christ. To what? To do what he has commanded in the New Testament. There's no commandments in the New Testament? I doubt it. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's a commandment.
Yep.
Study to show thyself approved. That's a commandment. You're doing the things that Jesus taught. Because he came to lead by example. Okay. I want us to go to Daniel chapter 9, and it's going to be real fast. I want to say something about those star constellations. Do you know that bride is in heaven in March in the star constellations.
What?
Did you know that? There's a picture of the bride in chains that representing the church, and then there's a picture of the bride in heaven representing the resurrected church. But she's in heaven in the month of Nisan. And so I just thought that was kind of strange. All right, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, it's talking about the coming of the Messiah and all this. But I want to read it. It says, after the 62 and 7, the anointed one will come and be cut off. But now, when it says the anointed one, it uses the Hebrew word, the Mashiach Nagid. The Mashiach Nagid means the king that's going to come to rule by example. You understand? So when Jesus comes, he's coming to do what? Show you exactly how to do it. I'm going to rule by example. So now listen, if you're married, Jesus was also married because the church is his bride, which he paid for. So now he's saying, this is the Mashiach Nagid. When I come, I'm going to show you how to do it. So he comes as a husband, right? Because he's going to redeem a bride and he's going to pay the price, okay? So now as a husband, he's going to show you how it's done, okay? So the apostles are asking this question, who's the greatest amongst us? Who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus says, I am here among you as a servant, and I want you to know that the person who is the greatest among you is going to be the one who serves the other, right? So as a servant, the kingdom sees you as being greater than the ones you are serving. So Jesus came, and Jesus is kicking back on one day, and you tell me, is this a true story or a false one? He's kicking back on the bench, and he said, man, my feet are dirty. Some of you apostles, get up and wash my feet. Did that happen? That's a false story. Why? Because he didn't come to be served. He came to do what?
Serve.
To serve. So if you're a husband, you don't come to get served. You come to serve. You understand? If you're going to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, if you're going to do it your way, that's the world's way. It usually never works, right? So Jesus came as a servant, right? I want to look at something. The sun shines upon the moon. You guys seen the moon last night? Full, beautiful moon. You see that? You know what's giving it most of that light?
The sun
is shining on it. In Joseph, Joseph's dad says to Joseph, because Joseph said, the moon and the stars bow down to me. Joseph's dad said, you mean the moon? You mean me and your mother are going to bow down to you? What made Joseph understand that he was the sun and she was the moon? Because in the Hebrew and the understanding of the star constellations, you understand that the husband is the sun and the moon is representing the bride, okay? So understand this. In a marriage, I can always tell if the sun is shining in that household by what? I'm going to look at the wife. I don't want to look at the sun. It's always shining. I want to look at the wife to see if she's glowing, if she's being taken care of, if she's being loved, because her countenance is going to tell me. See, I'm not going to ask you, any questions because I don't want to know because men lie. I'm one of them. I wasn't there. I didn't do it. But the wife will always tell you by her countenance, by her face, by her lifestyle. She's going to tell you whether she's happy or not, right? So therefore, I already know because the sun is shining, right? So this is what I'm trying to say to you. If you're going to be a real Christian, okay, you're going to have to follow the Mashiach Nagid. And what's that? A king who rule by example. You can't be the type of person you want to be and still say, I'm a Christian. You understand?
Right.
You're going to have to come in line and follow what Jesus taught to be like Jesus. Because here, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, and it says, we know that in all things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So your whole purpose in becoming a Christian is to do what? Be conformed to the image of the Son. Your whole walk is, I'm trying to be conformed. I don't want to be like me anymore. I want to be like Christ. So I'm going to conform to his image. I'm going to study my word and see what was Jesus like. And then by finding what Jesus was like, I can know how to conform myself to be like he was so that I can be ready. Because some people don't want to be ready. They just want to be knowledgeable.
Right.
Well, I know about the rapture. See, if you add the years of the fig tree and you minus the 67 war, and then you slide in the, then this is when Jesus is coming back, and then we're going to all be in heaven. We're going to be partying and dancing. You should be there.
So should you.
And then you go home and you're like, why ain't my food ready? What's wrong with you? You crazy? But then you go back to church. How you doing, Pastor? God bless you. Because you're a man. And that's what we do. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I don't know. You know what I mean? So I don't. And rather it's a man or a woman. You understand? Because the real meaning of a Jezebel is to control your man. Did you know that? It comes from Mesopotamia. They had female goddesses. You understand? All the women in Mesopotamia worshiped female goddesses. And so the whole thing for Mesopotamia was for the woman to rule over the man. It says Sarah did not fear them and called her husband master, just to spite him, and became obedient to her husband just to say, I'm not going to be like y'all. I don't worship false gods, and I don't have to be dominant over my husband. Okay, so I'm going to call him master just because I don't want to be like y'all. But she did that out of her own free will.
Yeah.
You can't get people to do things not in their own will. And the best way to get somebody to do things in their own will is to show them how much you love them by serving them. I never have to ask Drew for anything. You know why? I'm always trying to serve her. What do you need? What's going on? What do you need? Why? You say, why are you doing that? Sometimes people come over and they see me doing things for Drew, and I'm sure they'd be like, oh, he just always a problem. But that's not a problem. You understand? That's not a problem because I'm trying to be like Christ. You understand? It doesn't matter to me that you feel that I'm cool or not. It doesn't matter to me that you feel like I'm being manly or not. All that matters to me is that I'm pleasing God.
That's right. Amen. Good word, brother.
Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. You guys, the price has been paid. But you're going to have to be like Christ. Can't believe that Christians. I mean, knowledgeable, rapture people are having profanity problems. You know what I mean? Knowledgeable Christians are still smoking weed. They're like, I'm still getting raptured even though I'm high. I'm still getting raptured. Knowledgeable Christians are still acting like the world, but they're excited about the rapture. I'm saying, you are dumb I would not be excited about something that I'm doing everything possible not to be involved in. You understand? So if you're not being conformed to the image of Christ, what are you excited about? If you're not producing any fruit, what are you excited about? If you don't have on the garment, why are you trying to go? Because if you don't have the garment on, when you get there, they kick you out anyway.
Right.
So the purpose of this is to be conformed into the image of Christ. Yes. You say, oh, Pastor, you trying to get me to the rapture? Really, I'm trying to save you from hell. Yeah. Tell the truth.
Right.
I love the rapture, but really, if I could get you out of hell and you don't have to be there, and I know, you know, like, all the funerals we go to, everybody goes to heaven. It's a lie. Okay?
Right.
Because it's not true. And so that's what I'm trying to get you out of. And by doing that, it's only way I can do that is to have you be honest with God.
Yes.
You can lie to the pastor. You can lie to people. But no matter what, whatever you're doing, God is like, write that down. You know you got scribes in heaven?
Yes.
They're scribes. They're like write that down. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Write that down. And then you get to court and they go, pull out the book. Oh, Sandman. And you're like, no. You said no. Why? Because you know what you did. And you know you never accepted Jesus. So all of that you got to pay for. Yep. You never got married, so then nobody to pay your debt. So therefore, you've got to go where you're supposed to go, because that's where people go who have debt, unpaid debt. My debt's paid for. Blood of Jesus already paid for it. I already accepted Christ. And I don't mock God, because what you sow, you will reap. I don't come into this trying to mock God and say, I already said the prayer and I got baptized. It doesn't matter if I'm robbing banks. I already got saved and baptized. I can talk to her any way I want. Okay? This is the attitude that people have while they're excited about the rapture. And I'm like, come on, man. Let's be straight with this, okay? Here we are in Philippians. This is what Jesus did, okay? I think we can kind of finish up here, possibly, if Pastor Ben don't mind. I'm going to let you. Okay, it says here in Philippians chapter 2, if you have any encouragement, being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make your joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Let's see what Jesus Christ's attitude. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider it equality with God something to hold on to or grasp. So Jesus comes knowing that he's God. But he's like, me being God and trying to be high and mighty is not going to get this job done. Okay? Jesus has to come, and look what he says. It says, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to grasp or to hold on to, but made himself nothing. You hear that?
Yeah.
Who made himself nothing?
He made himself nothing.
That means he submitted to the situation and said, even though I'm God and I'm here and I have the authority of God and I'm here, I'm going to humble myself and come into submission. Jesus learned obedience while he was here.
Yeah.
He never had to be obedient to anyone. Listen to this. It says, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Wow. That's what a husband's supposed to be to his wife. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So Jesus comes and he's humble. He knows he's God. So what's making him be humble? What's making Jesus be humble? If he knows that he's God, what's making him be a servant? What's making him be quiet while people are spitting on him and calling his mother names and doing things while he, what makes him not just go lightning him? Because he can throw some lightning at you, right? And you a man, you can't throw it back. But he is in heaven. I mean, he is on earth and he's acting as a human, not because he's not God. Because when they attacked him, what did he say? Don't you know I could call legions of angels to do this, to protect me and do this? He was God in the flesh. His humility was on his own will. He decided to be obedient. He decided to not do that. He decided to not be that way. He decided. And if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to submit your will to God. Not because somebody's whipping you, not because somebody's mad at you, but you're going to submit your will to God out of your own humility because you want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'm talking real stuff here, y'all. I'm serious. Because you can be as arrogant as you want as a human, but hell will wake you up.
It will.
I mean, everybody think they're going to live forever, right? I'll live forever. I got the money. And then they go, one time God gave me a vision. There was a young girl. She had cursed out her mom and she went to the store. This is like a pure vision that God gave. She cursed her out and she went to the store. And then she put some things in her pocket and she paid for some things. And I'm watching her and she walks out of the store. Somebody drives by shooting at another guy and shoots her and she dies. And then God let me see her drop into hell. And she was screaming like, where am I? Why am I here? Where am I? And she was in pain. And I woke up like that and I said, Lord, does it happen that fast? He said, as soon as they close their eyes. So nobody has to believe in anything. Like I told the dudes in the prison ministry when I was doing prison ministry, because this is all little gangsters like I used to be, right? Man, they said, Sam, man, we don't believe in hell. I know God is good. We all going to heaven. I said, well, you ain't got to believe in hell. I don't believe in China. He said, well, he said, yeah, China exists. It's there. I said, I've never been there, so I don't believe it. Because that's basing your intellect on why you don't believe in hell, right?
Right.
Is you believe because you haven't been there, it don't exist. Right. So I don't believe in China. I don't believe in no place I haven't been. Japan, it don't exist. Europe, don't exist. Canada exists, been there. But if you base that's a dumb logic. If you base your logic that hell don't exist because you don't believe it, it's crazy. So this is what I'm trying to say. We're submitting our will to God. We're submitting our will to God. Who's making us? God is not a slave master. This is not slavery. God says, you are going to submit your will of your own accord to do what's right. And I'm trying to get Christians to do that. If I'm talking on the phone with a Christian, they should never have to say, excuse my language, Pastor. But it happens.
Wow.
I'm calling people all the time. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I watch, you know, and then he goes, excuse my language. I go, really? You're calling me because you're excited about the rapture, but excuse your language. See, this is what I'm talking about. fooling yourselves. Like, God sees and knows everything you do. And your eternity is going to be based off of it if you don't have a Savior. Or if you do what? Or if you sow the wrong things, because what you sow, you're going to reap. And the scripture says this, God is not mocked. So you like, watch this. I'm going to sin and God's not going to find out. Then I'm going to go to church and shake the pastor's hand and pretend like I'm a Christian. God is like, God is not mocked. Who you think you was fooling?
Right.
You know what I mean? Even when you were in the closet, I was right there.
Yep.
Let us be rapture ready.
Yeah.
Rapture and ready. Not rapture knowledgeable. Let us be rapture and ready. Listen, we got about, because there's a full moon last night, we got about a half a month before the 120th year is over. If judgment falls in the 120th year and that day happens, you will be where you're going to be.
Yes.
Can you get saved during the tribulation? Says you can, but you know, it ain't gonna be easy. The best thing is to leave when you're supposed to. Okay? But we're gonna have to make sure that we are both raptured, knowledgeable. And if you're not raptured, knowledgeable, I ain't mad at you. God bless you. You love Jesus? Yeah. You being obedient? Yes. Okay, I love you. Who cares? You know what I mean? I'm not saying to argue with you, try to teach you something that you have no interest in.
Right.
Maybe God just got you interested in changing your life and being a better wife or a better husband. That's good. And I don't, but we got Christians online arguing people, it's mid-trib, it's post-trib. Well, you're a nut. Well, you're a nut. And I'm like, brothers in Christ, right?
Yes. Amen.
Both of them nuts. Be rapture and ready. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Amen. Amen.